From the prophecy of Jeremiah, we have the beautiful words, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And it may be the Lord's providence that he gives us these words today, because as we know in recent weeks, we've seen the brutality of abortion promoted in an extreme way in New York State for one place, but similar efforts in other areas. And so I think it's a time to examine ourselves, examine our consciences, remember that the Lord is master of life and death, and he knew us. He planned on our existence. He had a plan for us before we were even tiny babies in our mother's womb. And so let us pray and let us work and let us act on behalf of the unborn and on behalf of the dignity of human life from conception to death. And let us rejoice that God gives us hope. He says that, yes, there is a plan in my heart for you. That's what he's telling the prophet Jeremiah. A prophet to the nations I have appointed you. We can all take a lesson from it, because as part of the graces of our baptism, we participate in Jesus' mission as priest, prophet, and king. Priest, prophet, and king. And so that prophecy element means that God wants us to witness to the world, wants us to witness his love and goodness to the world. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, a prophet to the nations I appointed you. He goes on to say, to indicate that it's not going to be easy. Don't expect to have the love and comfort and accolades of the world if you are truly witnessing to God's love and his goodness and his law. The world will turn against you. And so he tells Jeremiah, gird up your loins, stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account. Be not crushed on their account. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Do not lose hope. Even in the face of much of the ugliness that we've seen, not only over the abortion question, but over so many ugly things in politics, doesn't it seem like in many ways, I mean, the media, I know we have journalists in at Mizzou, and it is a noble profession. In some ways, though, what we see is some of the media are just not living up to the nobility of their profession. Sometimes we see them just spreading stories before finding out what the truth really is. And, you know, I have to confess, maybe you have the same experience, because there's so much news out there. There are so many headlines out there. I can kind of like scan through the headlines and kind of make up, by reading half a headline, make up my mind about what it's about, who wrote it, who they're promoting, who they're supporting. And so maybe there's a little bit more digging that we need to do to find out what's true, to witness to what's true, to live out the prophecy element that our baptism gives to us. And the Lord promises us, as he promises Jeremiah, they will fight against you but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I think it's very fitting that this goes along with St. Paul's a wonderful passage about charity, because, you know, we have this prophetic element, this prophetic desire. But if we lose the element of charity, if we lose sight of the fact that we are in this for our salvation and witnessing to others for their salvation, then we can become a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. Just, well, again, just look at the news if you want to see a lot of resounding gongs and clashing cymbals. You know, promoting your own opinion without any regard for the humanity, the dignity of the other person. We're called to something so much deeper. And, you know, think of Mother Teresa. If you've ever heard her witness on important moral questions like abortion, she just expresses herself with such love that you can't help but know that she's witnessing to the truth without compromise, but she's doing it with love for whoever she's talking to. That's what the command of love asks us to do. Faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love, first of all, for God, because of his goodness. Second of all, and because of God's love and goodness, for our neighbor. Because if we love God, we're called to love whatever God loves, and whatever God loves is whatever he's created, and he wants that beatitude for us. And so we see Jesus living this out. The rest of us, the apostles included, the rest of us will make mistakes and stumble and fail to love so many times. But Jesus is the one who always witnesses to what true love means and always calls us back to that and always invites us to receive his mercy and to come back to him. And so we see how Jesus maintains this fortitude even in dealing with this fickle public, right? You know, we see him say, well, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And suddenly they're all praising him, speaking highly of him. And then somehow, for no apparent reason, they start to change and they start to accuse him and they start to say, well, isn't this the son of Joseph? How can he possibly be so great? And to the point where by the end of this passage, in how many verses is it? 10 or so verses? They're going from praising him to trying to throw him off a cliff. But again, because of God's providence, because it was not yet his time, and God knows for each one of us, he knows the time that he has chosen for us to be on this earth. They were not able to touch him. They were not able to harm him until his time had truly come. And so, with our Eucharist today, may we be strengthened and may we have that faith strengthened that leads to building up of love, that leads to speaking the truth with love, and that leads to courage and fortitude in living out our prophetic mission. Amen.